Going on? What's going on, Long Island? How's everybody doing out there? This is your boy Bruno, back at it again, putting in another episode. This episode is brought to you by Monster Energies, juicing up our podcast, and also by Vertigear. What's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing? Hopefully, everybody's staying safe out there. Things that seem like they're starting to cool down a little bit in the IRL, in the real world, but gaming world keeps on rolling, keeps on running, and here we are again with another guest, another interim co-host, Isaac. Let everybody know a little bit about yourself, man. How you doing out there?
Well, I'm doing great, man. I'm actually excited to be part of this podcast. I live in New York City. I'm 37, and I've been a gamer since I was a kid. I think like most of us have been.
Most of us, that's true. Almost everybody at some point.
Yeah, pretty much.
So everybody, today we have a guest. One new fresh guest for our podcast is Rob. Rob, what's going on, man? What's going on? How are you doing today?
Hey guys, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the podcast. It's actually a pleasure. I'm actually my name is Rob, and I'm from Long Island, New York, and I go by Gotham Coach in the Madden community, and I've been playing professional Madden for a while now, and that's pretty much where I am today. I'm still playing, and I enjoy it very much.
There you go, man. Community seems to be a little getting stronger and stronger out in Long Island. Long Island used to be the land of Smash Brothers, and it seems like more and more Madden is growing out here in the island. Do you have that feeling, or do you think it's, you know, what is your view on that?
I do believe that Madden is definitely a growing community, and it is actually smaller of a niche than other video games would be. Mm-hmm. I believe the reasoning for that would be just because it's, you know, if people want to watch football, they're going to watch it on television instead of watching, you know, Madden players play. But I feel like it's shifting a little bit now, now that esports is growing. I'm not sure if you have that feeling as well. I know Call of Duty, a lot, you can't replicate that on TV. So that's another big one. Which would make it a bigger niche. But that's how I'm feeling right now. But I think the niche is actually getting bigger and bigger every year.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, we, just to give everybody a heads up, we Long Island Gaming League hold a bi-weekly Madden tournament, which actually happened yesterday. And it seems that, I mean, a lot of people are interested, or a lot of people get more interested in it out here in the island. I've tried to play Madden. I played a tournament. It was for charity. That was the reason why I played it. But I mean, I'm not a sports guy in terms of video games. And I mean, I got the floor mopped with my face. I mean, it's Madden. Madden is just, I'm a Call of Duty guy. And now I'm starting to get into other games like Escape from Tarkov. And I used to play Counter-Strike. But to get into that world in terms of plays and playbooks and oh no, that's not for me.
it's definitely a chess match, just like any game. You know, I'm sure you can compare it to Call of Duty in one way or another as far as chess match goes, but these games take a lot of brain power to, you know, to play at the highest levels.
Definitely agree. I play Madden. I've had two Madden games in my life. I've played them like religiously, and you know, I know what what it's like to play, you know, when you play different games, like you go from Call of Duty and then you go from Madden. As in chess pieces, yeah, it's similarity, but it's hard to definitely get used to.
I don't know, for sure. I mean, I compare Madden in my experience to, like, I'm a very big Dragon Ball guy, and I started I bought FighterZ when it came out. I went to the launch. I bought the game. I came home, I played it, I never touched it again, because I have the same feeling with that I have with Madden. It's just so much involving into it. But I also see, and for example, I took a look yesterday at our tournament, and I could see, I mean, once you get used to it and you know to navigate around, you know, the different, like I said, different playbooks, offense, defense, this and that, and blitzes and pass and running and options and all that stuff, that it seems, it almost seems as natural as if you were actually coaching and playing an NFL team. I mean, it just comes out naturally and you run with it. It's just a matter of getting used to it. And it's just, for me, I see that it's something that it's probably very time consuming in terms of trying to get used to it. You need to practice a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, that's, I mean, I prefer practicing in a different way than that. That's a lot to digest. It's like, even in the shooting world, I don't play Fortnite exactly because of the whole, it's not just the killing, it's not just the shooting, not just the looting, you have the building, and it already involves a lot. And
yeah, there's a lot of hand-eye coordination and factors that, you know, play into that, you know, such as mouse and keyboard too, you know, whereas in Madden, you don't really got to worry about mouse and keyboard. There's no advantage to that, and especially, you know, cross-play involved too, like, it just makes it a whole, right, a whole lot harder.
I mean,
yeah, that's exactly the reasons why I don't play that game either. I don't play Fortnite, and I definitely, Warzone is kind of like the same thing, except for without the building, and it's a pain, because not only do you have to you literally have to worry about every other team that's on that map. You know, you have your team, and then you got other teams, and then you can't even focus on one team. You have to focus on the team that's coming up from behind you, mm-hmm, from your left, from your right. So it's like you're getting cornered. And it's a pain. It's like a headache for me. I couldn't stand it because I'm very competitive. And when I see, like, you know, I'm in the gulag and I now have to fight my way out to return to spawn, it's just a pain.
It's a little bit getting used to. Yes, especially us from the Call of Duty community, that before they came out, well, when we had Advanced Warfare and they had their kind of, I forgot what it was called. It wasn't Warzone, but whatever it was, they had their battle royale, and it was nothing compared to this one. And I mean, it was a little too much. This one, it's a little easier, but then again, yes, it takes time to get used to. But I still think it's easier to adapt to Warzone than the actual Madden. It's a lot.
Well, every game's different, as you may agree. But, you know, to get at that highest level, it really takes a lot of sacrifice, and no one likes losing. So that's, you know, you learn from your losses, and, you know, that's the biggest thing to take away if you're trying to be a competitive player.
Sure. I mean, you have to have, you it's like, I don't like to lose for pennies or for beans. It's rough for me to get into those type of games, especially because of the whole, you lose so much at the beginning until you get used to it. So it's like that I think that's also another thing that pushes me away from those type of games, just because it takes so much losing to get to, at least to get to a point that you can be minimally competitive. And I just don't, I'm a little impatient when it comes to those kind of things. So that's why it doesn't work so much for me.
I agree. It all depends how far you want to go with it. You know, I know me myself, you know, I was actually trash at Madden from like 07, and then I started competing at 13. So it took me about like 6 Maddens to, you know, really figure it out. And I didn't really figure it out on my own. You know, I was networking, I was going on the leaderboards, I was messaging the top 100 players, you know, see if I can learn something. And then, you know, a couple of players came along, you know, taught me something. It just opened, you know, opened my eyes up to a whole nother way to play Madden. And a lot of things go unseen at the highest level that people wouldn't really know by watching a stream.
Sure, I can imagine. I mean, you got lucky with that, because, you know, even with us shooters and with all the other communities, not every community is open. The top players are open to teach you stuff. So I mean, I think you
oh, it took years. Yeah. It took years, but yeah, I get what you mean for sure.
I mean, in Madden, we all can be the Bill Belichick. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely going to take a lot of practice and, you know, like he said, years. It took me a while to really get used to it and, you know, trying to learn all the plays and try to figure out smart strategies to overcome the game and to win. And I can't even, like, and that's just a video game. So imagine, like, trying to actually do that in real life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this especially because if you're playing at the highest level and you're, you know, trying to, you know, monetize on it, trying to win money, that's extremely difficult. And that's a lot of pressure, given how competitive it gets. You know, once you start playing players like yourself at that highest level, it gets up to a coin toss pretty much. And, you know, there could be 30 different winners in the same tournament. So you got to really be on point when you're playing at the highest level.
Agree.
For sure, I could see that. Now, let me ask you this. What Madden hasn't been around for that many years. I mean, probably 10, 15 years. But what brought you into the gaming world when you started? Like, what was your first console? What was your first actual game that you played?
My dad actually started me when I was really young. I was playing Dreamcast Sonic on it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm 25, but I was really young when he got me into video games for sure. Gotcha. What about you, Gus?
Me. It's funny. So I remember when I was a little kid. The first thing I remember, and my family had, was the original Atari. I remember playing on the Atari. My first actual console that was given to me on Christmas. I was probably like 5. I got the Nintendo, the original NES, and I remember playing with my dad that morning, that whole Christmas morning till everybody woke up the next morning. We were playing Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers, the original. That was my first. I mean, from there That's forward, awesome. it was Castlevania's and Tecmo Bowl, which brought Tecmo Bowl that came around to come to your Madden. But Tecmo Bowl was, if you like Madden, try to go back and try to get Tecmo Bowl.
They actually have underground tournaments for that. I think someone has it like every year still. It's like really small. You wouldn't hear about it, but they still play that, surprisingly.
That was I mean, you were getting 70-yard touchdown runs and 70-yard touchdown throws and field goals out of the wazoo. And oh, it was just that was a nice game. But I mean, it was I consider it very advanced for the time that it came out, although it had its bugs, like everything back in the day. Like it had its bugs, but it was for us back in the day, it was nice, and everybody loved Tecmo Bowl. It was but my first console, actually mine, was the NES and was Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. What about you, Isaac? What was your turn?
Well, I'm going to have to join you on that. The first system I've ever played was Atari. My grandfather's aunt, may she rest in peace, she had an Atari system that was really owned by my uncle, and she had it there. So every time we used to go visit, that would be like a system I would play, and it would be like Galaga and, you know, all those spaceship games.
Space Invaders.
Space Invaders, all of that. And that's what drew me to the love of gaming. And then the first system that I've owned was, you know, exactly the same thing as you, was the Nintendo. And, you know, I played Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, you get the new systems that come out, you know, years later. And that was like the Super NES. And on there was like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. And then that's when my love for Mario changed, because then you start to see the different games that come out. And, you know, those games, they become, you know, more violent and more aggressive. And some Mortal Kombat was, you know, mm-hmm. becoming more gory.
It was a classic.
It was nice, though.
It was. And to see, like, all, like how this the gaming system advances throughout the years. And, you know, your love goes from like one system to another system, even with the gaming. And so like the first system I've ever owned was Nintendo.
Yeah, it was like me. I mean, I remember I still play the original, my original NES system. So I grew up here in the States. I was born in Queens, and then my parents are from Europe. My father retired. We went back, and I was probably 9. I still had in 19. I got my first system. I was probably like 1985, 1986. 1991, I still had my Nintendo. It was still working. I don't know how. It was still the whole, if you remember, we used to have to blow into the
Oh, yeah, blow
cartridges
into the cartridge
and tap
and
the back
pray,
of the,
and pray that it'd work.
If it you put it in and sometimes it will be the image will be a little screwed up. You would tap the back corner of the NES to make it work.
Look, yeah.
Yeah, I remember it probably I think it was what, 1995, 1996. I remember me and my father still playing old Kirby on the NES and finishing the game and Super Mario Brothers 3. And I remember we used to have, I don't know if you remember the Game Genie
Oh, yeah,
to
I
get
remember
the cheat. These kids nowadays don't know, man. You go to the internet, you get cheat codes.
that.
We
Oh,
had
yep.
to actually buy we had to buy this adapter to put the cartridge in that would have the cartridge halfway out of the system to put, and it would come with a massive thick Bible with
Yep.
all the cheat codes from
That's
every single game.
insane.
Oh
Yeah,
my God.
it was, man. I have a friend that he was playing the PlayStation, and he had the Game Shark and on there because he loves Final Fantasy VII, so he would use that for Final Fantasy VII. And I was just sitting there, it's like, bro, stop cheating.
Right. Meanwhile, we used to have to buy something to put in it to cheat.
Yeah, exactly.
Infinite ammos and all that was.
All of that stuff. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, now and another thing that back in the day I remember, and I mean, it wouldn't work for Madden. I don't think there's. Do you guys in Madden, the Madden community, have anything like the scuff controllers and stuff like that that you could use, or basically it's the straight up controller that you would use?
What do you mean by scuff? Was it like a modded controller or?
Yeah, like us in Call of Duty, we have the scuff controllers that have the extra paddles, and they're the like let's say on a PC. I mean, I've moved away from the PS and I went back to PC, which was my original thing. But us on PC, you know, you have the gaming mice and you have the gaming control keyboards that have a little bit of a quicker response, and the DPIs are a little bit different. Is on controller playing that you have the modified controllers with the extra paddles, and do you guys have any kind of stuff like that for Madden?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, you have to use, a standard controller at the live tournaments that they host. So no one would really, use something like that, online. It just wouldn't prepare them.
I got it.
But I haven't heard of anything like that, as far as casual play, people playing like ranked games and stuff like that.
Like us for the NES, I don't know if Isaac remembers. You had this thing which was called, which I one day will have this freaking thing. I do not know if I will be able to, if I will find it. Do you remember the power glove?
I actually owned one.
No.
I actually owned one, and what happened was I kind of messed it up and had to throw it out. But I've actually owned
God. I never was able to get this. I found one years later. I was probably 16 or 17. I think I came visit from Europe. I came on vacation in the summer, and they had this store. I don't know if they had it out here in the island. It was called Funko Land,
Oh yeah,
where you used to go
Uncle
buy
Len.
the used games and stuff
Yeah,
like that.
it, man, you're really showing my age in this podcast. Like, I feel old in this conversation.
Don't worry, I'm showing mine too. And I remember I walked into this place with my friend, and they had the power glove. And I was like a little kid in a candy shop. I'm like, no. And I had the money to buy it, and I would go to buy it. And the guy's like, I would sell it to you, but whoever sold it to us didn't bring us the book with the codes. And I said, you son of a
Oh.
gun, this is not, this is like you sending a somebody with now the word is like, oh, now I'm missing the word. You're sending a diabetic into a candy store, for Christ's sake. It's like, why would you do this? Yeah, it was beautiful. It was right there, but you needed the book with the codes because each game had a code that you would have to introduce it to it for it to work. I was like, wow. Yeah, we had that. I don't. After the Game Boy came out, I don't know if you remember. It was a separate console, but the Virtual Boy.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That was like the one I never owned. I wanted to, but I don't know. It was something that never really drew me to it. Right. But I wish I had, because I definitely would have loved to try out. All those.
I tried it out, but I didn't like it, man. It was funky. Like I think it was probably like their first step into what we have now with the virtual reality. But it was something. It wasn't exactly virtual reality, because it basically, instead of you playing on a screen, you're playing on a headset, but it was stationary and you still needed a controller. So it's like you're looking into the headset, but you're not moving.
Do you think virtual reality will take off like competitive play and stuff like that?
There is
or
no
just
doubt.
Recreational.
There is no doubt in my mind that it's going to take off. I can see, like, you know, years from now. Whereas instead of having a system, it's your whole room or apartment or wherever you at could just literally just turn into the game.
No, for sure. I mean, I myself have an Oculus that I got for Christmas. And I mean, for me, it's a little different because they have all these other different games and this and that. They have, for me that I'm a shooter, they have a shooter game that it's a little bit like Counter-Strike in a way, but it's just, it's not the same. It's a little clunky still. I still think they have a way to go in terms of the gameplay, and you know, there's quirks that they have to fix and stuff like that. But I see at some point, I can imagine imagine this. Now us at the Long Island Gaming League, we had the possibility. We got invited to go to a major Counter-Strike tournament that happened 2 years ago in Brooklyn. Major international Counter-Strike thing. And this was in, what is it? Is it the Prudential Center?
In New Jersey.
No, which is the one that, I forgot the name, that the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So now imagine walking into the Barclays Center. This is what we had. It was like going into a basketball game, same setup. Same thing. It was just, you know, you walk in and you have the podium with the guys playing. Now imagine you going, I'm laughing just thinking about it. You going into the same setup, but instead of you having the guy sitting behind a couple of computers, you have five guys on one side, five guys on the other side, walking around on the stage and shooting each other. Now imagine this. You have 10 guys with virtual reality glasses on. And they're just walking around the stage like, but just freely. It looks retarded, but I could see it happening though. It's just, I think they have a long way to go in terms of the actual gameplay. I mean, I played it. Yeah. I have it installed. It's not like what you see for Call of Duty still. It's still very, very rudimentary in terms of the gameplay. Like, you have to actually do the movement to load the cartridge when it's empty, and then load the magazine and unload or to throw it. And it's I find it very hard still, because there's certain, you have to hold a controller in your hand that has a special joy. It's almost like a joystick, but there's certain movements, certain ways you have to hold your hand, or certain buttons that you have to hold. I still think it's there. The base is there for it to be good. It's just, it still has to be worked.
You think it would just be like a recreational thing rather than competitive?
No, I see it being competitive. They can fix it to a way that it's very fluent, and you can like imagine if you have ever gone to a range, or if you've seen somebody shoot a gun, like the whole pressing a button, dropping the cartridge, taking the cartridge out of your pocket and putting it in and locking in the next bullet. If they can make it into a way that it's very, it's fluid to almost natural for you to do it, oh, definitely. I would tell you, I would convert.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That sounds like so much fun.
That's the thing. Like if they can make it to a thing, like if you go down to the gun range and you bring a gun, you do it, and you know, you press a button and you do it, and it's natural and it's fluid. Yeah, I see it happening. It's just, I think it's still. It's still a little far down the way. I mean, there's other games, but yeah.
I mean, as far as like proning and stuff and like, you know, crawling, like I don't know. I just can't see how that would work.
You can. It's the same thing though. It's same thing that works with the reloading and loading of a gun. It's the same thing. It has to do with, I mean, your movement, that which I think still they have to work with. It has to do with your movement. So if you kneel down and stuff like that, but it needs to be worked. Maybe at some point they might, for those type of games, maybe introduce some kind of attachment that you would put around your waist, like a belt that would coordinate with everything, and it would give, you know, almost like a compass that would show, like a gyro compass that would say, okay, now you move forward, you move back, and it gives you that movement and it assists. That might be something, or maybe like something that you would put around your ankle and something. There's work there that they guarantee that they have to put attachments for that, like extra stuff. But I mean, there's a good base for it. It's just a matter of them perfecting it. And
this could be 10 years down the road.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. I mean, I see maybe 5-10 years down the road, at least, for something to come out that can be competitive. But I see VR going competitive in some ways. I have no doubt in my mind that looks like where they're trying to work towards. It's just a matter of them getting their shit together. I mean, then again, you have so many. You have Oculus by Facebook. Then you have this by this company. Then you have the PlayStation VR. I think they should just make one platform, get together, do one thing, get all these minds together and get it right. Because if you have one guy, one company doing one thing, instead of you focusing on perfecting what you have, if you have so many platforms, you're more focused on, oh, what's this guy doing? I got to do better than them. So I got to come out with the next thing. No, perfect what you have. Make it good.
Yeah, that would be nice if, you know, you just go about purchasing one product and,
yep,
you know, does it all.
Yeah, I agree. I have, sticking with the whole VR, in terms as, like, you know, graphic-wise, would you rather see a computer graphic VR, or would you like to see a more live action type VR?
In my opinion, I mean, let's put it this way. The game that they have out for the Oculus, at least for the one that I found, the pixelation and the way that the image looks, it like, if you've seen Counter-Strike, like CSGO, and if you have ever looked back to what came out before CSGO, which was right before was Counter-Strike Source, which is where I started, and before that there was CS 1.6, the original CS, the way the image looks, it actually looks like the original CS. That's how far back they are in terms of that. I think they need to change their stuff, but they need to perfect their stuff to get a little better. That's what I think. But what do you see anything like that happening into the future, in terms of VR, Rob?
Yeah. I think I agree with what you said about it. Again, I think this is something like we're so ahead of our time in technology. I feel like that, you know, even this is something, you know, that's going to take another 5 to 10 years, because I really can't see it in the next couple of years, you know, being perfected. You know, they're still working on the consoles. You know, the consoles still need to catch up to technology today. So,
I mean, yeah, I would see it interesting for like a sports game like baseball or like NFL to go VR. I think it would be interesting.
That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but it's the whole, it's like I say, it's the same thing with the shooter games. It works the same way for the NFL kind of games and for the baseball kind of games, the whole movement of the throwing and the movement of the catching and the running, and it's
even even like you know what they're doing now, I think? I believe they're going to start selling VR seats to like the games, like the actual NBA games.
They already did.
You can watch, yeah, they can, you can watch courtside, stuff like that.
They already,
really?
Yeah, but that's different. You're watching something.
Yeah, you're watching. Yeah, yeah.
There's no, the movement, the only movement that you have is just the movement of the head back.
Yeah, yeah.
When you incorporate now movement of an arm that's going to throw, now you have to calculate the force that you put behind it to make it get to a certain distance. That's why it's different.
I mean, could you compare it to the Wii, like Wii Sports, you know?
Yeah, something like that. But now you have to also put the movement of you walking, you running, you put in your shoulder. Somehow they have to do it that when you go tackle, put your shoulder into it or be able to grab. There's a lot to it.
Definitely.
That's like you say, 10 years, I think it's little. But I see they have the base for it. It's just a matter of fixing it and making it perfect. And it's just, let's see if they do the right thing, you know?
Well, yeah, I'm excited.
If anything, they could probably do something like, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Player One Ready.
Yes. Oh, yes.
If they can do something like that, incorporate that type of idea.
Yeah, but you're talking in that movie, it was a whole entire full suit. Like,
yeah,
it's just the money behind it. Yeah, how much money you would probably have to spend to do that? That's why I think they have to perfect. There's a lot of perfection. Maybe at one point it will be like that. Could be. I mean, that might right there, like you say, that might be the vision of the future of pro playing. Never know.
Hope so. That'll be awesome.
Well, let's see what happens. Definitely. But yeah, I mean, it's that's what I see. I don't know, the gaming. It's the gaming world. It can go in so many ways. I mean, who knows? But yeah. Do you guys have any other questions that you want? Do you have any other questions you want to throw at Rob, Isaac?
Maybe one. Like, what is the number one game you probably miss the most to this day?
Oh, wow. Miss the most? Yeah. That's tough. I mean, I'd probably say the game that I enjoyed the most throughout my life was definitely Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, I would say, or the first one. It's very debatable. But I definitely had the most fun on that game, aside from Madden.
For me, it would have to be Black Ops, because, I mean, the story...
That was a good one.
Yeah, the story was crazy, and watching them, you know, kill Ice Cube, I was, like, depressed for a few minutes, and then the online was great, and, like, on there, I felt like the button compatibility was just great. You know, they now with all the changes of the button functions, and it gets a little harder now. But you know, at Black Ops, man, I was doing like 38 kills a game.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, and they changed everything from then.
Exactly. They changed everything, and people were saying like they really need to start going back to basics, you know, to the Black Ops times. And hello.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah, it definitely was.
I agree.
Did we lose? I think we lost him.
Bruno, are you still with us?
You hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you. Okay.
I probably touched my mute button on my headphone by accident. No, yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, sometimes things get so advanced that it's like they happened with Call of Duty, with the whole advanced warfare, with jumping on walls and flying. They had to go back. So, I mean, yeah, sometimes I think you need to go back. Things go forward way too quick that it gets out of hand, that sometimes you do have to go back and restart. But I think they did good with the franchise, what they did right now. I mean, I don't see that happening with Madden or something like that. I don't see them going too crazy ahead. There's no possibility right now for that. It's not like Call of Duty, yeah, they went way overhead and they had to go back. But
they tried a bunch of things, you know, in between, like that advanced warfare, you know, jumping on walls and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think that was like the most thing people complained about, because it was just making it difficult to kill them, and it was just a pain in the butt.
Oh, no, for sure.
Because even like you did the double jump and you see them like glide up in the air for like a few seconds. That was even annoying too.
Yeah, those games honestly strayed me away from Call of Duty. You know, after that, after I saw that, so.
I barely even played online. I just stuck with the story mode after that, like because the story mode always captivated me, and I just loved how the story plays out.
Mm-hmm.
But as for online wise, it was like, you know, a pain in the neck just to strategize and try to figure out like, are they gonna double jump? Are they gonna run up on the wall? Like, how fast do I have to aim? Like, it's a headache.
Not for sure, for sure, for sure. Alrighty, so I think it's that time. The conversation has been incredibly good and fluent. Rob, now's your time. Just let everybody know where they can see you, where they can see your content. The floor is yours. Put yourself out there, man.
Awesome. You know, thanks again for having me on the podcast, guys. I appreciate it. You can follow my esports organization's Twitter at Try This Play. And we actually have a YouTube Try This Play. And we also have a website where, you know, we teach you how to play. You get a lot of valuable information out of there. And yeah, guys, hope you guys enjoyed the podcast and thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure. Isaac, can you let everybody know where they can also see you if you have a Twitch, YouTube, Twitter? You can go ahead.
You could find me on Twitter at IsaacM1983.
Okay, perfect, perfect. You heard it here, guys. That was another episode in the bag. We had our boy Rob with Isaac as the interim co-host. Another shout out again one more time to our sponsors. The podcast is sponsored by Monster Energy, juicing up our game, and also by Vertigear gaming chairs. If you guys go down to their webpage, vertigear.com, and at the end, you use our promo code. Jesus, I just had it in front of me. The promo code is TEAMLIGL at the checkout, and you will get a 25% off on your purchase. We appreciate everybody that's coming on. We appreciate all you guys listening to us. Keep on coming back for more content. We will be coming back soon. Also, don't forget, we had our Madden tournament yesterday. We will be having it again in 2 weeks. So please go to our webpage, longislandgamingleague.com, and sign up for our next tournament. And yeah, it's a prize tournament to all the information is there. And we appreciate you guys coming and hope you guys keep coming back. And that's pretty much it. Peace out, everybody.
Later.
Have a good one.